You're listening to Gone Mobile, your input and output for all things .NET Maui and mobile.
Hey there, welcome back to another Gone Mobile. Alan, if we're on video today, I've got the crazy hair going because I had to be outside in the cold, rainy weather and dealing with the dog. And so I think today we should talk about something that's like a little less triggering, a little more fun, a little more, you know, dream.
To go with the hairdo?
Fulfilling.
Because my hairdo is always crazy. Always. Like you just
mine usually is. I mean, I'm due for a haircut, so.
All right.
So let's talk about something fun today, okay?
Something fun. Well, WWDC is coming up, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, that could be fun. It could also be triggering. But
well, for you, yeah. For you, it's usually anxiety inducing, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's soon, right? It's in June. Yeah, is it in June? It's always in June.
But
this is the season of it. And I remember, you know, back in the day before COVID, before economic conditions and everything, I used to get to go to the some of these. I never went to a WWDC, but that was kind of okay with me at the time. I was always like on the Android side of things. And I remember actually before I joined Xamarin, I was into mobile, right? I was doing Xamarin stuff and you were at the same time too. And I don't know about you, but I always remember watching like the keynotes of Google I/O and WWDC, although I don't think you could watch WWDC at the time. Maybe not even Google at the first ones, right?
Remember.
I don't think they always live streamed.
I'm pretty sure Apple, you could watch a few of them.
Maybe on your Apple device. Yeah. It only worked, I think.
Yeah, that's right. You had to have it. I do remember that. You had to have some sort of, or it had to be Safari.
Had to be Safari, yeah. And so I remember watching those or like knowing that those were happening and thinking like, oh, I would just love to get to go to one of those one day. And I even thought, I think I would put my name in because they were a lottery at the time. Like you'd have to win the chance to buy a ticket to them. Like you'd still have to pay for them, but you'd have to win your chance to be able to pay for them, right? I don't know. Did you ever enter
them? I never
tried
because the thing was is that, you know, going back in time, I remember like all the announcements used to be done at conferences, like all of them, all the technical announcements. So like it didn't used to be called Microsoft Build and there was no WWDC. You just had to wait. Right. So I stopped going to conferences because they stopped making all those announcements. It's like, I already knew you were going to talk about that. But Apple's a little bit more closed ecosystem, right? They don't like you talking about stuff. So,
and Google did. Like to an extent, they talked about things ahead of time, but that was where they always unveiled like the next Android and what was happening there. It was at Google I/O, right? And so
it just was never anything exciting though.
It was early on. I think it already kind of peaked before I got, well, no, I think the first year I got to go was still in San Francisco because they eventually moved it out to Mountain View. And so I got to go to this a few years, which, you know, I still kind of considered that really lucky because it kind of fulfilled one of those, you know, kind of dreams I had as a not mobile developer for full-time work kind of thing. So I got to go to those. And I remember just like the excitement about all of the new things being announced and maybe new phones, new hardware, new software, all the different things. And it was like really exciting times because every year something reasonably big would come out, I feel like.
Yeah, that's true. Phones for a while there were like, you'd be like, wow. Like nowadays, WWDC, they're just like, this is the biggest thing ever. And one more thing, right? That became the famous thing.
Yeah.
But back in the day, it really was one more thing. And you'd be like, oh, that's cool, right?
Yes. Yeah. And then I don't think Apple ever really gave away hardware at theirs, but Google did. I mean, gave away, right? You're paying for your conference your ticket to be there. Like, I think the one year it was like they gave out like a watch and a phone and something. I think that was the year I missed. And then the first year I went, I think they gave out a tablet, which was still pretty cool. And every year they did something. Although one year, I think it was like $500 of credits to like their app building platform or whatever. And it was like, oh, I don't want that. That's not a good prize.
I mean, give me the toys, man. Give me the toys.
Exactly. Especially like I didn't have to pay for the tickets. Like that was all through Xamarin. And we were lucky enough to go and we had to like ask, you know, try and reach out to someone that we had a contact with at Google or whatever, right, to like get on the list to actually even buy tickets to go. And I remember that for WWDC, I don't think we had a contact, so everybody was told to apply, and then like we would, you know, get a few randomly or whatever selected, you know, won the chance to go, and they would kind of divvy that out between people who they thought should go, because part of it was like you got to go talk to the engineers, right, which was helpful for us, especially in Xamarin days when, like, especially even Apple, even today Apple, like, it's really hard to get a hold of someone to talk to internally. Like, you'd think, everyone thinks like, oh, Microsoft, like, you've got connections and stuff. And there is, to an extent, with some teams, like the Office team, you know, they're I think pretty well connected, but that doesn't translate over. Like, we don't have somebody generally that we can go say, hey, we have a problem. Like, what's up? It's a little better now than it was, but it's still not like, it's not a given. Right. So we would go to those, and that would be helpful. And then I remember the first year I went, and we had just been acquired the year before. And so we went as Microsoft people, and that was hilarious because we had, they have the badges, your lanyards with your company name that you're from.
And
but anytime we went up to any Google engineers, they would start talking, then you could see them glance at the badge and see, and, you know, presumably see Microsoft, and like, it was uncanny. Like, right away, they'd kind of like shut down and like, oh, I got to go do this other thing. Sorry. So
you were there to plunder tech.
Yeah. We just wanted to get, you know, more inside track on like how things work and were built so that we could be doing the right things. Right. It was all fairly innocent. It's not like we were trying to, you know, there's no espionage going on. It was all above board. Just make our product work better for our mutual customers.
Indeed.
That was what I tried to say.
You know, the last conference I went to, and it was exciting. Do you want to guess? It's like 10 years.
12 was years. Was it ago. A build or it was Ignite an or something? Evolve.
Xamarin Evolve.
But you didn't go to the last one, did you? Which one did you go to?
I went to the first one, right? And
in Austin?
Yes, it was okay. In Austin.
That's food, you know, it's funny because I was amazing, there.
But yeah, you I were never there. Met you there.
Yeah.
And who knew? Who knew? But
that was a fun one.
That was a good one. It was a really good one because that was the last time I remember, you know, you didn't know what was coming. And yeah, a lot of it was a bit phantomware. Miguel was a master. Miguel and stuff was a master of the phantomware. But it was exciting, right? Because that's what we went to that conference. Like, the reason I go to conferences, I guess I was a little bit, I didn't abuse them. I could have, but I didn't. I wanted to go and see, okay, well, how stable is the company?
Yeah.
You know, what's the roadmap? You know, stuff that you just couldn't pick up a phone and talk to somebody, right?
Yeah.
So going to that one was yeah, okay, we're gonna give you guys a try, right?
It was exciting. I mean, it was well done.
The IDE had like the storyboard designer. So it was like, oh my God, I don't have to use Xcode. And I remember all the announcements. You're like, really? Really? And a lot of them did come to light.
A lot of them did.
Some of them didn't, but it was still, listen, that time was awesome to watch everything that was going on. And it was, nowadays it feels like, you know, you watch some of these conferences and you're like, yeah, you either already knew that or
it's not marketing. In that like I'm golden like, era, right? Like, it's like looking back now. Yeah. That was a special time. And there was so much happening so quickly. And even the mobile space. And I remember, like, you know, Xamarin did a good job. And I think, I don't remember, I think it was the Atlanta conference, maybe, that I just remember, like, Nat doing the keynote and just talking about how, like, you know, we're at the beginning of this revolution of mobile, and like, everybody's going to have one of these in their pockets or did even at that point, but it was like early days. Right. And that, I think, is a good way to summarize that time. Which is just, it was exploding. Everything was happening.
Everything was new and shiny, right?
Yeah.
Everything was exciting. The conference was exciting. Now it's like, we know everything that's there.
It's like, ooh, better camera again. Okay, yay.
Okay, but let's talk about, we really want to talk about what are we looking forward to this year, right? So WWDC is coming.
Yeah.
Google I.O. is, I don't know about that one. I'm not a Google lover.
I don't even know what they do anymore for that, if it's still a conference or not. Okay. I mean, they've, to be fair, like Google has gotten, like you said, like Apple's pretty closed. Google kind of just talks about things as they happen now. And there's previews of Android early, right? Like there's not a lot they're holding back, which isn't as exciting, but it is kind of nice as a developer to have things that are predictable and not, you know, be just shocked by stuff.
Like WWDC, I mean, last year, everybody knew that the headset was coming, like the VR. Yeah. They knew it. Yeah. Everybody knew it. It somehow it leaked out. So, but it was still exciting. I don't know if it, I don't know how well the sales are doing in it. I haven't seen like a huge burst in development on it yet.
No.
You know, it's so John expensive. And I have been talking about VR movies. Like, what's the latest thing we've been doing? Is those Disney rides in VR. Yeah. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anything where it's like, oh my God, I need to go buy, you know, the Apple VR stuff.
See, not name, for that much
Apple
money.
Vision.
Apple that, Vision Pro. Yeah, yeah, it's the Vision Pro, right?
Sorry, see the name doesn't even stick with me yet.
Well, like an iPhone did. But they were like the whole speculation there, right, is that Apple Vision Pro is the first thing and that leaves room for just like the non-pro, you know, pleb version of Apple Vision. And so maybe they come out, I doubt it. We'd see reports, but like you could always dream maybe there's a lower cost Apple Vision around the corner.
I'm waiting to see. I'm hoping. I'm not doing it yet, but they've been talking about those immersive movies, so that's something to look forward to.
That's
so when we
cool.
talk about WWDC this year, that's mm-hmm. what I want to see. Are they going to have that? Are they going to show us like this is an immersive movie? You can watch Star Wars, and it's like you're holding the lightsaber. I don't want to be moving around. I want to sit there and eat my popcorn, but like I want to see the lightsaber as if I'm.
Well, they have the like. The agreement with Disney about like 3D movies, right? So the whole thing, like I know you've got some, I don't know if you had a TV that could do it or something at some point, but like
I had a 3D TV, which was it. Okay, you know what? It was pretty darn good.
Yeah,
3D, but it's you could say it's immersive, but it's just 3D. Like it's nothing new. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
What they were showing or what they've been talking about is the immersive, like a VR
movie.
Yeah, like
your 360, like you can turn your head, you're in the environment kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. That would be the cool thing. I don't know how they're going to do it, but...
I don't know. I don't either. I mean, I do think, though, like the one interesting thing that seems to be kind of under the radar is like the whole Disney like catalog of 3D movies. Like they basically, not that they invented a new format, but 3D content until this point has been like 1080p really, right? Like it's lower resolution. And then you split that up between like the, I don't know, however the 3D imagery works, like side by side or
twice basically is
yeah. So you have even lower kind of resolution, I think is how it works. And so they did up the resolution now. I think it's like true 4K, like per eye or whatever. I don't know. So it seems like that's cool, but that's like exclusive to Apple Vision Pro at this point. I mean, us Quest 3 owners, if we could just get Disney to give that to us too, that'd be great. Because
we'll wait and see. You never know.
Well, we saw that happen with so Apple last year. I don't know if it was WWDC where they showed it off. Well, no, it was whenever they showed off the Vision Pro stuff with like the, what do they call the picture taking?
I couldn't even tell you it was called Vision Pro.
It's gonna bug me because they have like it's not immersive. I almost have to open the camera up because if you have an iPhone 15 Pro or Pro Max, I think is where it starts, you can take these videos in the mode that is, it shows like even the vision goggles on the phone. I don't know what it's called, but there's a mode you take it in and it's taking like 3D video.
Weird.
And then you can watch that back because that was one of the whole selling points of the Vision Pro is to watch like
that.
It's like a, you know, faded like border. It's like you're reliving these big magical moments, right? Now, the cool thing is Quest 3 Meta basically said, hey, we can use that format, and they implemented it, right? So like I took a bunch of videos when we went to Belize in that format, and we can watch them back on the Quest 3 in that like dreamy immersive mode. So that's pretty cool. But if they could take it a step farther, like you're saying with, you know, a Star Wars movie where you're like in the thing, that will be just the pinnacle.
That would be pretty cool. That's what that would be pretty cool. Now, in terms of hardware, there's only one toy that I'm particularly waiting for. I've been waiting for this for years. They're saying 2025
Yeah.
But I'm like this big guy. I don't want to carry a wallet. I don't want to have a tablet. I just want the all-in-one, right? So Google's had this for a few years with the OLED flip phones or
yeah.
So it basically turns into a tablet. Microsoft tried it with that Surface phone, but they charged like, I don't know what your marketing people were doing.
You see that you back have there?
One. Yeah. Get lost, John. I want it's, that. It doesn't work really, though anymore, does it?
It's I mean, it does. It's the first gen one. I don't know what version. It's the first gen. There was a whole other second generation. I didn't ever get one of those.
And it has hinge problems. And
I never tried using it as a daily driver, I'm so jealous. To be honest.
Don't tell me. I don't even want to hear it. I'm jealous of you. And the fact that thing's probably got an inch worth of dust on it is disturbing. But
I mean, it's Android, though.
Yeah, I know. But so I keep waiting for Apple to do it. Now, their tablet sales are still good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But, you know, those OLED flip screens, like where it just folds out in a single screen, I want the Apple version of that. Like that if they released cool. it tomorrow, I would be like, I would be like one of those guys running people over to try and get into the store. I hate being that way. And I've never been that way, but I really want an Apple flip phone. Give me an Apple flip phone and take my money.
I don't know. I'd have to see it. I don't know if I do, but
you know, you'd be getting it. You don't pretend you would be in that line tomorrow pre-ordering it.
Maybe
it listeners that know John, done. You know, if you know him, you know damn well he would be like shelling it out. Like,
I don't have the Vision Pro. That's, you know,
You fought though. There was a lot of discussions about it.
It didn't hurt that they don't sell it in Canada. I think even still. So, I mean,
but you were debating. You were like, I go across the border and get it.
I know.
But you held back because it's only Gen 1, right? So
Well, there you go. I'm not going to buy Gen 1 of a foldable iPhone either. But you were close. Either.
You were close.
I'd be close. I'd wait for you to buy it and see how you liked it first.
I'm glad I could be the guinea pig.
But what I want actually, and this is just, I mean, they're going to do it. Their iPads need refreshing. So like, hopefully that comes along. I don't think they're going to do anything crazy with the hardware though. Like it's just going to be a, you know, bigger, stronger, faster. Like we always see my kids' iPads are on their last legs. They're like 6 years old now.
Yep.
And I went to go look at it. I'm like, wait a minute. How old is the one that's out? Oh, it's like 18 months old. I can't buy this right now. They're going to come out with a new one right away. So.
And so what are you hoping for the iPads? Is there anything specific or just? Their pros have the M in it, right?
The Air does too. So what I'd love to see is a non-Air, non-Pro iPad with the Apple Silicon chips in them. But I don't know if they'll do that yet. I think they'll probably still throw like the phone processor in it. But that would be nice. Like these things are expensive now. Like I went to go, well, like truthfully, one of the kids' iPads is dying, but if I switch them now, the new one's going to be USB-C, which is great, but there's no way I'm dealing with like one kid having Lightning and one USB-C and then like the cables and all that comes with that. Like, no, I can't do it. So if I'm replacing one, I'm replacing both.
That'll trigger you.
Yeah.
That'll trigger you. You can't have that one cord. I've got so many Lightning cables though.
Yeah.
I mean,
my phone's now USB-C. Then all that's left then is my wife's phone too. And so I think if at that point, like, well, you're getting a new phone now because
that is your reason for getting the Apple Flip phone if they announce it. I guarantee it that that's going to be his excuse. I
like that.
But dude, you knew you were going to go this route anyways. You know,
darn. No.
If that flip phone is announced, I will bet money. I will bet money.
Only because I can then pass off my current one,
yes.
Right, to her, and then I can.
Of course,
that's just an excuse.
Yeah, I get it.
I'd be really curious what their UX is going to be like for that, for something foldable.
You know what? Apple's pretty. I've heard this.
They're pretty good
at
that.
Do a fair bit of stuff. Like I heard that the UI was going to change up. So either they're prepping for this stuff, or, you know, they just need to find a way to say it's the biggest release ever because they do that every.
Well, they will. It always will be, right? It's plus one version at least. So,
but like they haven't done anything monumental with the UI because they haven't really needed to. But at the same time, things are kind of bland at this point.
Yeah, right? You kind of have to every once in a while, right? Like iOS was it 7 that was kind of the last. I mean, there's been more like incremental, but there was like the one release that was pivotally different than the version before. I think it was like between 6 and 7 yeah, or might, 7 and 8. I think
you're right. And it got significantly prettier.
Yeah.
Right. And
so you have to do that every once in a while just to keep people interested, I think, if nothing less, right?
Well, you got to give me a reason to buy something new, right? Besides, yeah, here's a fourth camera on the eye now.
Yeah.
Right. Because I personally, I mean, I also love, because I'm also the progressive. I don't want to carry around a wallet, right? I want my camera. Now, all the photo professionals will tell me, okay, why are you using a phone? But now a lot of them are saying, yeah, you don't have a pro, so you're not, don't go away, right?
Yeah. So, no, but I mean, they're so good at, like, any reasonably new phone is awesome at that. Like that, for me, that ship sailed years ago where I was finally like, okay, I have no reason to want to bring like a camera along because the phone is fine.
Exactly.
And like on vacations and stuff, right? So, and that's been fine for a while now.
I mean, unless you're going to go to Disney, because John's got a trip coming up to Disney, are you going to do like the GoPro so we have some more 3D videos? Why not? Come on, go do that. I want to
I don't want to deal with that. I mean, I thought about it, but then, and then I think when I mentioned it, my wife's like, no, you can go in the single rider line then.
Well, hey, that has its own advantages.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait in line. Just, okay, yeah. See you later.
No, there's plenty of good ones out there. I don't need to add my own or buy the equipment for it.
Fine.
So foldable phone.
Foldable, if they do that, foldable phones is what I'm personally waiting for in terms of toys. Now, what about APIs? I know
this
Apple's big on AI this year, but AI is more of a manufactured thing. Like it doesn't. It's like give us a model, and it. I don't want to say it all seems the same, but it all seems the same.
But you know what I think that they could do is, and like if you've seen, I'm not actually going to go here because I don't know what I have access to that isn't known or whatever on my build of my Windows machine. But I think like what they could do is try and make it so that developers are kind of like have first party access to some of that and to try and make the APIs easy enough that you might be able to throw some context into something in your app and get something useful out of it. Or even if it's just like maybe an API to help surface context behind the scenes that some like global universal, you know, Siri integration would be able to benefit from. So if you're like, I think of something like my pool app, right? Yep. We've been playing around with ChatGPT models and stuff for some of this. And it's actually pretty like scary good. Where you could start to say like, here's the current levels of chemicals and stuff in my pool. We'll have fed it context of like our, we have like a huge PDF of like swimming pool maintenance and how the chemistry works and all this different stuff. And so we'll feed that together and be like, here's the current state of the pool. Like what do I need to do? And it'll be like, oh, well your chlorine level should be this. So you should add this and this, and then you should do that and that. So I could see some API to surface context like that from the app and have it be able to like even maybe give it some suggested prompts and stuff. And then
now
have
on
that.
The phone though, right? As opposed to online, right? Because a lot of stuff, all the services right now is get online.
Yeah.
Pay us a damn fortune to run it.
Yeah.
And I mean, Google has offline? I think it's got some offline abilities.
Yeah, I think that's where Apple's strength will lie, right? Because that's always been their thing in even Siri and stuff, right? You don't want to necessarily have everything that you're doing go up to the cloud. So I think from a privacy perspective, that's something they'll do. But yeah, I could see like that kind of approach to like enabling developers to integrate it into their apps and that being a way to differentiate your app from other platforms and other apps and like do the whole like marketing PR arm of like sell more apps, right? Because ultimately the more apps that people buy, Apple's doing well with it.
Well, making your app part of the platform is I think one of the big things, right? Because like with Android, I guess Apple has them now where you can do like the widgets on the front screen, but they're really kind of weak. Mm-hmm. Right? You can't really do a lot. You really want your app to be part of the whole experience of being part of the platform. Because Apple's apps, they all integrate at some point, right? Like and you don't need to, it's beyond just the hand over to this app, so here's my file, hand it over to this app. It's gone beyond that at this point.
Well, and part of that I think we saw years ago too, like another area that I could see them improving in this space is some of the Siri shortcut stuff, like, I don't know how often you see on your phone from apps use and stuff, but like you pull down the search and it's kind of like, oh, you might want to do this right now, right? Like, so if the app kind of integrates with that. So maybe there's a play with AI to kind of help improve context awareness, or like, you know, figure out like what is the user going to want kind of thing.
Because they don't have really a ton of hooks to get involved there. So it would definitely
and it's let pretty, us get involved. It's pretty minimal. Like that's one of the things that stopped me from adding that to the pool math is like one of the use cases I'd love to be able to add is like, I want to log my test results, right? And to prompt people to do that. Now I can do that just in like a generic, like, hey,
you should log your...
Right. But you couldn't, and maybe it's changed since and I haven't looked at it, but originally when it came out, you couldn't really be parameterized enough with them for my uses. Like I could say like when they added a test result, I could say like, here's the intent. It's a test result. Their chlorine level was this, their, you know, pH was this. And it would only kind of let you do that in the sense of it would prompt back later to be like, hey, do you want to log a test result? And it kind of predetermined the values where I'm like, no, I want you to like be able to talk to Siri and say, I want to log a test result and for it to be able to ask you, okay, well, what was this and what was this? And then enter it for you. But it couldn't do that at the time.
Yeah, it's not really a language model right now. It's more of a, here's the speech to text, parse that and see what you get, right? It didn't truly understand.
That's a good way to think of it, I guess, too, is like, yeah, maybe integrating more of that into language models and having that interaction be more natural. That would be cool.
Now, what about APIs we don't want? I can think of one right away.
I can think of several. Any of them that require dramatic changes on our part to integrate into MAUI?
You haven't had the pleasure of working with the research kit yet, but I can tell you that flips the game. We won't even go into Google. You poor Essentials guys, you're not going to like what Google's coming with. But the XE privacy stuff, Apple privacy info stuff, what a pain. What are they doing? I would love to see that die. I'm hoping that May 1st, I have a feeling they'll be lax out of the box as long as you include, like, you attempted to do it. You attempted to put the privacy in.
Yeah.
They'll probably let it slide for the first little while. But if they don't, people are going to be like, what is this junk you're making? This is make work. Like, you have to basically say, why are you using settings? What the hell? What do you mean? Why am I using settings? Shut up.
If that's
insecure, what are you doing wrong?
Yeah, there's so much coming down, you know, from, I think there's a lot of like US government directed security kind of order things going on. And so that's probably driving some of that too. So I don't see that changing, unfortunately.
It's but some of it, if you see these files, some of it's like duplication, right? So tracking location. Mm-hmm. Well, what's being tracked with your location? A user ID? Okay, yes. But you ask for those permissions. So it's kind of redundant.
Yeah.
And then stuff like settings, I kind of understand, because like they're so big on you can't track across browsers and stuff, but you can.
Yep.
So they had that device you could use for years. Google still allows you pretty much freely to do that, right? You can't get the IMEI off the phone anymore, I don't think, but you can get the device ID. But an easy way to get around that was, hey, I'll just make a GUID, store it in the settings, and send that. So we know that that's the device ID, because are they going to really try and figure that out and copy it across to another phone, right? Like, so they get rid of the device tracking. But is that really such a need? Like, are apps doing that malicious of stuff? Like,
I mean,
when I think about apps I've written for customers that do kind of some of the heavy background tracking, it's usually for like, hey, my employee, I'm tracking where they are, not because I want to know how to, like, are they stealing or whatever. It's more like, hey, you're on a delivery, I want to reroute you here, maybe check your time for when you're going to be over here, right? Like, it's not malicious, and most employers don't use it maliciously, right? So I'm like, are there really that many apps that are getting through the cracks that are doing these bad things? Because I haven't seen them. Have you?
No. I mean, maybe there's more on Android. Maybe that's why Apple's doing it, because they're good at being proactive about not enabling that scenario that much on their platform. I don't know.
I don't know.
Part of it's with the different store stuff too, right? Because they have a little bit less control. from a app gating perspective, right? Review perspective, once all these other, you know, stores like in the EU and stuff pop up. So I could see that as a way for them tracking some of the things more on their own platform.
They kicked up the beehive now, and they're just like, oh yeah, okay, now we're
exactly
really annoying.
Thanks a lot, Europe.
Yeah, thanks, Europe. You know, we don't get the app stores that you do.
Think. Yeah, we don't get the benefit. We just have to deal with the consequences. Thanks.
I mean, I would love a custom app store where we don't have to pick and plead, and you know what you're getting.
Like, you know what? I would still use the Apple App Store. That's fine. I just don't, like, even just to be able to not do all of the provisioning dance around for, like, previews and stuff.
Oh,
like, if we could sideload apps just for, like, that scenario. Because I'll tell you what, like, this is going to be a side tangent, little rant. People like to complain about the App Store and the cut that they take and everything. It's a lot. And I get it even more for like the bigger corporations that are like, you know, Netflix or whatever. I think some of them have deals now. I'm sure they do, like, even closed door deals, right? But I can understand that, where you're like, no, you're not taking like 30% of, you know, a cut of our service just because it's, we want to be on your platform too. Like, I get that. But I think of like my app, I have no problem with the fee they take. And like, so a couple of things, like, first of all, it's 30% for like in-app purchases, like one-off things. You take away the tax that they're collecting on your behalf, like in Canada, our tax rate is 13%, right? So right away, that includes that. I don't have to think about it. It's they're collecting the tax. I mean, there's implications of how you report that and whatever. But that 30% includes that part too, right? So that's they're not actually taking 30% at the end of the day. Obviously, some countries they're going to gain a little bit, and some they're going to lose a little bit. The other part of it is, like, I do subscriptions. I do yearly subscriptions. The first year that someone subscribes, they take that 30%. Every subsequent year, it drops down to 15.
That's not so bad. But they also process all those subscriptions.
They also process it. So all the all processing the fees. Yep. So at the end of the day, like, it's not that crazy. I would almost argue I'd rather see them lighten up on, or not even lighten up, just get better at the, like, review process, because some of that's silly. Like, you can submit an app, and just depends on, you know, the way the wind is blowing, if they're going to approve it or not, or reject it for some crazy reason, right? I'm sure you've hit this many times. You're submitting an app, and five times it's fine, and then the sixth time you publish a new version, they reject it on something that's been unchanged the whole time, right? Yep. And then you're finally like, well, why didn't you care about this the first five times? Well, I don't know. We just didn't look at it. So, like, that, I would almost argue, I'd like that to get better. I don't care about the fee that they take.
That's not going to get better.
I know it's not going to get better.
That's not going to get better.
But, like, people are kind of ranting about the wrong thing to some extent, I feel like. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. I get it from both sides. It's like 30% still is a large cut.
It is a large cut.
And who's to say that they're the best to pay the tax on your behalf?
Yeah, I mean, you could argue, like, okay, maybe 20% is more reasonable. I don't know. Yeah. Like, anyway.
So the other thing, so if we're looking at APIs and stuff, obviously the thing that gives you the most anxiety, this one's easy, UI changes. So if we get a foldable phone, what happens there? Does the UI change? Do you guys still have, because I remember there was a whole thing about the foldable Android frameworks. Is that still a thing?
Yes. So I helped build parts of it. I know Shane did like the bulk of the work on the actual, because there was like a, did we call it a two-pane view? I think it's still in Maui as another package. Wow, I don't even know where it lives anymore.
Neither do I. You never hear about it anymore because the Surface phones kind of died.
Yeah.
As with all Microsoft hardware, it eventually finds a place in the gutter.
Yeah, well, but I mean, like, there's other Android phones that are still that, like, still have that support in them, right? So, like, it's two-pane view, and it supported the Duo stuff, but also, like, just normal Android foldables. And
the Pixel doesn't have a foldable yet, does it?
No, I think it's just Samsung, but I think there's lots of rumors that a Pixel one's coming too.
Yeah, let's get it out. Come on, Apple.
So it's out there. And it was interesting, the idea of it, right? just to change your react your UI to kind of different modes that your device is in. Like, I don't know. The thing that I think will be interesting for Apple is if they go that route, they got to do it in a way that's fairly seamless to all existing apps to that, and like to make them work pretty well.
Do they, or can they just say this opens in a single pane and you get like a maybe an easier multi-app experience, right? So let's say I have a document like Word, for example, right? Let's say I open, maybe they allow me to open two instances like Word and Excel, and I could drag and drop a little bit easier between them, maybe, right? Mm-hmm. So you can still take advantage of the single pane apps, or you can kind of do it more responsive, like here's the tablet version, right? So you build your tablet.
Well, I guess here's the question. If they do foldable, is it going to be like the Duo was and have like a hinge in the middle, or is it going to be like you're saying, like foldable, you know, a nice OLED screen that just is the whole thing?
Yeah, that's what I want, the foldable. Have you seen those? Because they are awesome.
But that's the thing, like, and I agree, I think that's maybe what they're waiting for. And if you do it that way, you at the end of the day, you still just have a big screen. You're not trying to dodge, you know, gutters and stuff like that. It may be that the play like is just okay if your app works on a phone and you have the same app and it works on iPad and you've already done decisions about how that, you know, how you adapt in those two scenarios, then it just does that, right?
Yep. And then you know what's going to happen once we have that tablet kind of view, then Apple Pen will become a bigger thing. I will use an Apple Pen. My daughter steals mine. I have no idea where it is in my house. It's just gone. So she uses it for a lot of her stuff. But you know what? I would probably use it if I had my tablet phone.
Yeah.
Is that what I want? I don't want to buy the iPhone Pro Max or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The tablet phone. I call it the tablet phone because when you're talking in it, it looks like you're holding like a slab to your face. You're going to get a sunburn from it. I want a phone, and I want it to fold open to beauty, and I want to be able to write on it.
Yeah.
Take my
money. Maybe you're making me more interested in it.
I know. Dude, you were going to buy this. I don't know why we're down this path. You're going to buy it. If they announce it, you're going to buy it. I bet money on it. I bet a lot of money on that. I can't get you to buy a lightsaber, but I guarantee you buy a foldable iPhone, because it'll be the iTablet at that point, right?
It'd be interesting to see what they would call it.
But I don't think that they have to change the UI that much, but there is a lot of rumors that they are changing it this year.
But do you think it's change, like functional change, or more just like the styling change? Like how, you know, like Google went to, you know, Material 2.0 or whatever 0.0 it was.
Maybe. Because I know that they, you know, they like to call everything like, I don't know, what was the terms that they used to have? I don't remember. So like if we think about the last huge UI change, this is what I like to laugh about, was dark mode. Apple made such a big deal over the flipping dark mode. Yeah. I'm like, really? This is the revolution.
That's what they do though, right?
Like, really?
My favorite always is like every keynote where they announce like a new, usually it's macOS that's most funny about this, when they're like talking about the new version of macOS. It's like there's a whole segment on like the mail app, right? And like like it's an email client. Who cares? Come on, guys.
Which I don't even use because I can't.
Right. Right. So like, okay, fine. That's nice. But like, just let's get on with the actual interesting stuff. But no.
So what about Android and Google this year? I don't particularly love Android at all. Like, there's nothing that I really love about Android. Again, I've been warning you that Essentials permissions, you're going to hate what they're doing, because every permission is changing the way you go off to a secondary screen now for everything, like background permissions. And I don't know.
Is this all Android 14 already or 15?
13, some of these started. But then now as you go into 14 and 15, they're going to do more of these custom screens. Like Android Health is its own screen. So it's not like like what you guys are doing with Essentials, it's not going to be pluggable. Basically, what you do is when on resume is called, you go, well, Let's see if those permissions came back. Were you tracking anything? Were you tracking an intent ID or anything that came back?
Well, we do that already for some other areas of APIs, so it might not be that bad.
It's not awful. It's just not great. Like, it's not that the permission, the on permissions in the activity, it's just, it's not used as much anymore. It now goes off to these screens, and then on resume, you have to start checking, did you come back from that intent? Okay, you did. Okay, do you have any keys in there, or should I recheck my permissions? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not as clear cut as it used to be, which sucks. It sucks.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. I mean, that sounds a lot like the browser, some of the browser scenarios, like the what do they call them? Custom Chrome, custom tab. I mean, that was the early name. So we already have like, and that has been, yeah, I mean, that's been a difficult area in some ways because it's just, yeah, it's so weird. And then like, one of the traditional things from an app perspective is, and a MAUI perspective is, like, if somehow that whole process gets torn down while you're outside of the, you know, while you're shelled out to that other activity or that other now permission screen.
Yep.
And then like your like topmost activity or your whole app process dies. It's just like trying to recover from that is a pain.
Well, and that's a thing. It would be nice if they're going to go this route. And even Apple does this. Like, if you've used Apple Health stuff, have you worked with the Apple Health stuff?
Not really, no. Just so, the exposure notification stuff.
They're a bit funny. So what you do is you give off the permissions you want. You want to either just read or you want to do write to certain ones. You hand it off. The screen comes up and it says, this app wants to do A, B, C, and D, right? And then you either check yes, no, da, da, da. And then it comes back to your request right there. Like, it's not like you have to now check on resume and do some hacky stuff. It comes back into the Apple API and it says, here was the dictionary of results, right? That's what I want Android to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they can't do anything like that ever. So time sensitive notifications is one where they've really like, what, how did we get here?
Yeah. You know what? What's funny talking about earlier about going to Google IOs. I remember being, they used to have like these little smaller talks, like fireside chats, they would call them.
Yep.
Where they'd have like a couple engineers talk really deep about a subject. And one of the times they talked about the activity life cycle and everything. And like, and they kind of admitted, they're like, if we were going to do this again, we wouldn't have done it this way. Like, yeah, the whole,
no kidding.
Every activity is kind of like its own independent thing. Right. Cause on the outset, the idea was really cool, where the idea is like, oh, I could like call out an activity, a specific activity in another app. And, you know, they don't have to know about each other. And at the end of the day, though, it's like nobody's actually doing that for many good reasons nowadays, especially like security reasons. And
it's
so,
brutal. It's
yeah.
Brutal. But they bought their operating system to start. Right?
They did. But like they were, it sounded like at that point, they were like, the way that they kept going down that path of design was like, yeah, no, this is a good idea. And then like years later, yeah, they just kind of said, use like the configuration change stuff. Like don't just have your activity have to get rebuilt all the time. Like, that's silly. We should never have done it this way. You know, that the fact that like activities are just totally isolated from each other was not a good decision in hindsight.
Well, vision's 2020 when you're looking back on it. Right?
Absolutely.
So, but if you, relatively looking, some of the stuff they're doing with new permissions, they can kiss my butt. I don't like them. Just stop. I wish they would all unify. If you're going to do these off screens where you really, Apple and or Google can really get involved and get in your face, right? Do like a manifest where you have to say, this is the permission I want. This is why, right? Or a localization key or whatever, just kind of like Apple does. You say, request all permissions, not this piecemeal crap we have to do right now. Just send the whole damn thing. And then it comes back with a dictionary. And then I can react accordingly to that, right? So it's just like a permission setting screen. We'll hand it all to you guys. You decide and come back. Don't keep changing the game on me.
They have the means to do that too, right?
Exactly.
Like, that could all, if they're already going out to some other activity or like, and then whenever they resume, just have the bundle have all that stuff in it, right?
Right.
Have a special key in the bundle, and that key has all the permission dictionary stuff in it inside that.
Exactly. It's already all there, and just, I can request it and then I can check the current state of it. Right. Cause that's the other thing. User can still go into it, still retract those permissions. Mm-hmm. So But then you don't have to request them anymore. You can always check what's the state. And then if the state is bad, say, hey, Mr. User, you've knocked this permission out. We can't help you here, right? But you're not having to do all this wild check and have I asked them before? It's not have I asked them before. It's just you've asked them before and now here's the state.
Yeah. But you could even have a permission, you know, kind of change notification listener thing, right? Like have it always accessible and you can always kind of query the current state and then maybe even have an option to wire up a listener just so that you know when that state of anything has changed. Background.
Apple doesn't like that. You can't win. You can't win. True. That's why you just need to have flags that are always current, right? And then you have to check them. It just, it's the nature of the game. But honestly, I wish they would figure this shit out and put it in one place. Stop making me piecemeal this junk. Especially since they keep changing the game. Like, if you had any idea how many times the location stuff has changed in Android, even in the last three releases, it's like, what are you doing? You're only angering me. Stop.
Yeah. Now, that's something that I always kind of have lately been wishing for from Apple is I feel like they've never done much with their notifications, like the UX, not the API or anything, just the as a user, I pick up my phone and notifications are just always a disaster on my iPhone. And Android, I feel like maybe went too far in how you can like group and customize and do all these things. But I keep thinking that Apple could do something better here.
You might be a victim of where you sit in that field, unfortunately. So when you can do some very rich stuff with Apple notifications, but kind of in the MAUI world, it doesn't exist, right? Because you have to do like a widget kind of scenario, right? And you have to supply a native view.
Yeah.
So you're probably not prone to see that very often with MAUI stuff, but it is there.
I mean, but just even other apps, like, I don't know. I just feel like I end up having like hundreds of notifications of different apps, and Android was somehow a bit better at that. But maybe
you have to look
at
the live activity. About... So you don't order from Starbucks because that's swill to you, right?
It's okay. Okay. So I mean, it's
do me a favor this weekend, because I know you do the same thing as me Saturday morning. You're taking your kids to all the sporting / stuff, right? Because John and I will message each other on Saturday going, oh, again, right? Because we're watching our kids do these things that we've seen them do 5 million times. See, eventually you're just like, so I'll have my coffee and then I'll message John and he'll be like, I've had my atomically measured coffee of perfection. And I'll be like, I've got Starbucks. So on the weekend when you're going to this, you know, your kid's stuff, I want you to mobile order a Starbucks and see their notification, because it's rich.
Okay. It's maybe been a little
so
bit.
So they started
with the
live notification stuff very recently, and it's great. It's fantastic because you can tell when, like on the notification, when they received your order, when they started making your order, and when it's ready, without the notification ever going away. So that stuff is there. It's a fair bit of work to get it though, right? That's the thing with these push notification things. It's not work.
You have to really want, like, have a good scenario that it makes sense
Uber
to spend
has
the
it
effort
too,
on, right?
So you know that little island, what do they call it? The dynamic island.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Well, does it? It seems more like a toy, but it's kind of interesting because you could just look at your home screen and you've got the little car driving across the dynamic island to tell how far your trip is left, which it's like a progress bar for your trip. So that's kind of interesting.
Well, even the like waiting till they get there kind of thing part is
maybe more
interesting.
And it's just like this stupid little animation. I love what they do with a dynamic island. It's kind of cool.
I wonder if Lyft.
Well, you
got to
figure they're copying each other, right?
I'm sure. And I only ask because like, so going to Disney, Lyft has like that's like their partner one, right? Because they got like the Disney themed vans that you can get.
So check it out, because those notifications, in my opinion, are way richer than what you generally tend to see in Android. Now, out of the box, like for the least amount of work, doing just straight local notifications with Android is like you can do pretty much anything right out of the box without even giving a custom view or activity over. You can just get all this stuff. Apple, you have to do your custom view, your, you know, all that stuff and kind of feed it information. live activity is a completely different thing. But again, with that kind of stuff, it's more based on push notifications. So you got to do more lift on the server than as much on the client. So it's a lot of work to get those things. And I think that's what people don't realize. It's why you don't see it as much unless it's from the really, really big apps.
Well, yeah, because it's platform specific work too, right? So like that's always going to be the extra mile. And you know, that's something I see that in my own app. It's like, do I want to spend the extra effort to do that?
Well, right now, I don't know. Again, if you're looking at live activities, you do need Swift UI. So that's a bit of a gap that we've got right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of sucks, but there's some options. If eventually we could Objective C or any sort of rendered UI to it, you could still do some cross platform stuff there. I think.
Yeah, that always becomes difficult, and it's kind of the same with like CarPlay and those kind of things too, right?
Well, CarPlay is very custom,
pretty specific to the platform.
Like you get a collection view and you get like a map, and that's it. That's what you get, and maybe a keyboard.
Oh, I wonder if we'll see any new, I mean, maybe not new hardware for like Apple TV stuff, but do you have Apple TVs? Do you use those your own? You do, don't you?
Apple TV's amazing. Right.
I wonder if they'll do anything interesting with the OS updates there.
With that at all, right? I think.
Not a lot. There's been little quality improvements here and there, like HomeKit stuff to there. Like I like how like our doorbell rings and now like the video pops up on the TV of the doorbell. Like it's.
Oh, that sounds cool. I've got it all wired into my cameras.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But I do not have the doorbell thing. I did not know it did that.
Well, you have to have the video, you know, working with HomeKit.
Yeah.
But you've got all the stuff. All yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it'll do it.
Oh.
Yeah. So they do stuff like that, or like, you know, have the AirPod like pop up like, hey, your AirPods are here. Do you want to connect? I started using that a little bit where I can listen to TV
kids
without
bothering you or waking them up because you're listening to something loud. That's handy. That is handy. But other than that, they haven't really done. There's been nothing. I haven't seen anything cool with Apple TV in years.
Yeah, so maybe we're due for something there too. I don't know.
It'd be nice if they made it like, if they could really, like not these stupid games, like make some real AAA games on them. I also keep hoping if that's another thing. I love my M2. I swear by it. So it just, I want to do everything on it. But running AAA games on an ARM64 Mac is just not a thing. And I really, really want to have a separate Mac. Now, Microsoft has said that this is the year they think they can challenge Mac with Windows on ARM64. I don't know.
I'll be happy if it's like reasonably in the ballpark. So I have one of the developer ARM64 boxes. Like you could buy like one of them. Maybe you still can. Like I bought just for my own build server stuff.
But you,
and it's,
you don't ever use that thing.
Good. Not on the, as a desk. I did for a bit just to, while we were kind of like, this was like last year. So, I mean, I bought one for my own use and then I kind of, you know, was able to use it to test out, how like MAUI workloads and stuff were working on there too. So I did use it like as a PC for a little while and I was pleasantly surprised with the power, especially given that it was like not, an expensive machine. Like it was like a cheap Mac mini basically. So like if they can do something that they can charge, you know, a little less than Apple, but get kind of closer to what MacBooks cost. And if they can get close to competing with them,
but you
that
have
might
to
be
get
compelling.
DirectX in ARM64 to get all the games and stuff.
Yeah, but they've been working on a ton of that stuff, right? Like I think, games might
I
be
want
the hard part.
That's what I want. It's easy. If Windows can do it, I will convert back. But right now,
I feel like if they can make a compelling piece of hardware, like because it's Windows and if they can make DirectX and stuff work, and if it's a matter of like rebuilding games for ARM, they'll have more success at getting developers to like studios to do that than Apple is having getting, you know,
well,
them to
and that's
port
the thing
over
we've been
Mac,
seeing
right?
at WWDC. So this is the other kind of cool, I mean, it's way out of my realm of experience or expertise is they've been trying to write it so metal is like the thing to build games on, and they've got all these porting kits, and they announced it, what, like 2 years ago, and they've been improving on it, but I have not
seen... Yeah, it's been a while.
Any real... I mean, maybe it's just not AAA games I care about, but I have not seen anything like... Wow.
I think there's just... There's not enough of a market of people that, you know, want to buy their games there, maybe. Like, I'd have to imagine that studios are kind of doing the analysis, right? And like, are people really going to buy the games there?
Is the maybe it's not worth really it. Powerful enough to do games, as Apple says? Like, it's amazing. Like, this thing just tears through everything I give it, minus games, obviously. Like, I can have like Parallels going, it boots up faster than my Windows computer that's got 128 gigs sitting beside me.
Yeah.
It boots up faster, like instantaneously. It's crazy. And battery wise, it destroys everything I've ever had. So I would love to continue buying this. So what, every time they say there's an M, new M, you know.
Yeah, there's an M4 coming, I think, right? So
you had an M2, though.
No.
Sorry, you had an M, and then you got the M3.
No, what do I have? I had one of the first
M Pro
laptops. I upgraded my laptop when a newer one came out. I have an M1 Pro.
I got the M2.
That's my laptop.
And
then
like,
I have an M2
that's right,
something Mac Mini.
From Microsoft. But then you were going to get an M3 Pro. You didn't. They're just gathering dust. Nah, you only use your Windows machine now anyways.
Well, I've been on the Mac a lot lately, on the Mac Mini. But then like for my portable device, like the M1 Pro still
it's
just really screams just for stuff that I use it for. So like why?
But
no
I do wonder how good the graphics really can be on it. I want to believe.
Yeah, no, the M1 Pro, no. So like I tried emulating some games that I own, of course, and I actually the Switch, so I tried bringing that along to Belize. Like I had the only device I brought to Belize was my phone and my laptop, because I just couldn't quite be comfortable not having a laptop with me and to do something on the plane. So I brought that along, but I put some like emulators on it for Switch, just thinking like, oh, like this will be fun to do maybe. And it
really
couldn't really do that. I mean, granted, it was like, you know, some of the more demanding games I was throwing at it, but so maybe like, I don't know, maybe like Mario Party would have been fine. I don't know.
Incredibly Doom system to rendering, right? At least it's
not, but like the way they do their shaders and stuff, like you gotta pre-compile shaders, or like the way that emulators usually do it is just in time, right? And so it's not super conducive to like emulating.
I just want to see a big game like a Diablo 4 or chuck something good at it and let me see it. But they just...
Well, people had used like the porting toolkit to run like Cyberpunk and stuff, right? Like there were, and I granted it's not like a officially done thing, so it's not quite the same, though. But maybe they'll get
that's something I'm looking forward to hearing out of some of these guys this year. Their other thing last year, and you had the 15, but have you seen the big AAA games make it to the phone? Because that what they were talking about it.
No, I mean, I haven't been looking that. I mean, I've seen like there's like, I don't know, there was like a Call of Duty and
to pretend one,
was there
a mobile
Assassin's
version, right?
Creed or something, right? Yeah, like they're all like different versions of it, with just like they're selling the brand, right? It's not like a true version.
They keep saying that
game,
that stuff
so.
Is coming. I keep waiting. I just want one laptop. I want one computer, and I want one phone/tablet. That's what I want. Sell me.
The problem, like the phone's always going to be slower than the current computer, right? And like you're not going to disrupt the industry of people who do games like on a serious gaming PC. Like you're not going to run those on a computer. Like so, yeah, maybe you can throw a game on a phone, you know, after that game's 5 years old, and maybe you can get to that point where that works okay. But
this will keep saying, keep waiting.
I don't know.
Keep hoping.
Cloud streaming. That's how you're going to get your AAA games.
I know. It's too slow. So how do we do a package of the week this week? I didn't really think what would fit with this, but I mean, why don't we do a shout out to some of Gerald's stuff? He's been doing
Yeah, I feel like maybe he might even have some that are, you know, kind of in the space of maybe not newer APIs, but like in the spirit of
screenshot API.
There's screenshots.
Did an audio one. A lot of quick plugins,
cool.
But they're pretty cool. The screenshot plugin is a great idea. I didn't even know that was a thing. So that's awesome. I mean, I did know it was a thing. There's
tons.
Like Sentry and stuff can capture like screens and stuff, but he added an API for that. So that's nice. He's got a bunch of other ones. He's got a screen brightness one. Not sure what I would use that for, but you know.
Well, like if you have a barcode that you're displaying that needs to be scanned, right? Like a boarding pass kind of deal.
If it's a boarding pass, then you want to be into pass kit, right?
But like ultimately all those also show the code in the app.
So too, go check out Gerald's packages. He's got tons of them.
Yeah.
Can you say his last name? You can say his last name.
Yeah, there's lots of good ones.
Full effect, right?
No, I'm not going to even try. I'm not Dutch enough.
Fair enough. So, Gerald, we love your stuff.
I think that's a good pick.
Obviously, he's part of Community Toolkit. So that's what I thought for this week.
Yeah, I like it. And that, I mean, it's a good point too, right? Like there's a lot of them out there that fill in those little gaps here and there. And that's talking about like new APIs and stuff. That's kind of the way that probably, you know, you're going to get access to like those new things from a cross-platform perspective, because it's not going to land in MAUI immediately, right? Unless it's like some new thing that, you know, the world needs immediately. Maybe we'll see new features and maybe they will end up in a plugin by Gerald.
Possible. Or me. I do a lot of them too. So we'll see. Race is on.
Yeah.
Challenge accepted.
All right. So we've got WWDC in June, I think. We've got, I checked Google I.O. in May, middle or end of May. Maybe we'll have to do a recap and see if we had any dreams come true after those.
That's a good point. Because then if the dual, if the flip phone comes out, I'm going to be talking about it. And then I'll be opening it on the live stream.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That would be, I think if that comes out, that would even warrant an emergency episode.
As I said, when we started this episode, John wasn't convinced he'd be getting one. If you saw his face now, it is quite clear
it's
already grown 50% in the course of 45 minutes. So it'll be 100% by tomorrow.
It's a reasonable chance. All right. I think that'll do it for this week, for today. You know, if you're excited about Google I.O. and WWDC and you want to see a foldable phone, the best way that you can make that happen is to go leave us a nice, juicy review on Apple Podcasts.
That's terrible.
I'm not sure how that translates.
Terrible
why that
joke, but, you know, that's whatever. We will go make a lot of noise if you leave a subscription or feedback about it. I will make a lot of noise with Apple.
Just go put that in your review and we'll like point that, you know, to Tim. I have Tim's email address, Tim Cook's email address. I mean, everybody does, but I have it too. And we'll say, hey, look at the proof's there. You know, you got to come out with the foldable phone.
The people have spoken.
The tens of people have spoken. All right. Yeah. And you can find all the infos for us. If you want to drop us a line, comment, feedback, if you want to berate us for our poor humor, you know, any of the above, gonemobile.io. I think that about does it. Have a nice weekend dreaming of your foldable phone.
I will. Order from Starbucks tomorrow.
All right. Got to do that. I'll remind me. I'll ask Siri. Remind me. All right, everyone. Thanks all. See you next time.
Thanks, everybody.